Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to Business Solutions Radio, sponsored by Conscious Capitalism Arizona, where our theme is It's Just Good Business. Purpose of this show is to highlight conscious businesses in Arizona that offer solutions to a wide range of challenges. I'm your host, John Deiter. My company is John Deiter Solutions. I work with business owners and their leadership teams to teach, facilitate, and coach them on the implementation of the Entrepreneurial Operating System, or EOS. Based on the book Traction by Gino Wickman, my passion is to help business owners get all they want from their business. As I search for great guests for the show, I'm looking to invite what I would call conscious business leaders. They may or may not know about the Conscious Capitalism Movement or the Conscious Capitalism Arizona chapter, at least not yet, and may not even consider themselves as knowingly following the four pillars of conscious capitalism. But they all embody the theme of our show, It's Just Good Business. And I look forward to shining a bright light on those businesses. And today, both of my guests, actually three of my guests, are very familiar with Conscious Capitalism Movement. And I'm excited to host them today. First, let me introduce Jeremy Neese. Jeremy is an investment advisor with Retirement Evolutions and a small business operator fueled by the desire to enrich life experience. He grew up in the Chicago area, chased the sun to get a degree at University of Arizona in human and organizational communications. After doing that, he returned to Illinois, where over the next 15 years, he'd find joy in co-launching and growing a technology solutions company and establishing a family. In 2014, he returned to the desert to join his current venture. Welcome, Jeremy.
Thank you, John. Good morning.
Good morning. We share some common roots in Chicago area.
We do, yes.
I'm pretty glad to be here right now.
Even on a cold Phoenix morning,
yeah,
we'll take this.
Nothing compared to what they're getting back
for
there.
For sure.
Right. Next, let me introduce Scott McLean. Scott's an accomplished public speaker, financial success coach, and business consultant. He's an excellent communicator who immediately builds the trust of the individuals and audiences he works with. He's trained thousands of business professionals, business owners, and entrepreneurs around the country. Scott is the academy instructor, founder, and CEO of Bright Wealth Academy. He's on a mission to accelerate your financial success. Welcome, Jeremy Scott.
Thanks, John.
And you brought a special guest, Angie, from your office as well.
I did bring Angie. She's the company's secret weapon ambassador to the academy for all the students.
Perfect, perfect. A good ambassador for that. Welcome, Angie.
Why, thank you for having me, John.
Good to have you. So, Jeremy, tell me a little bit about Retirement Evolutions.
Sure. So a quick backstory on how I landed at Retirement Evolutions. When I came back to Arizona, my first mission was just to get my family to a good climate. So I was at a transitional phase. I had sold off the technology firm. And so I was just looking for something to keep myself busy. And I initially came on as a consultant role, helping enhance the experience of the organization and some of the operative back office things. And as I got closer to it, I started realizing that maybe there's more here than just working on the business for me. There's some really good things being brought to market. So what we focus on is helping people predominantly at the transition point of accumulation to what we call preservation distribution. So you're sort of chronologically probably near your 60s and you're starting to think, okay, this has been a fun journey, but let's see what this whole retirement initiative is about, Hence the name Retirement Evolutions. But what we've come to find, and like every industry, things are changing at a warp speed. And so the instruments and the techniques and the strategies that you use actually apply much beyond your 60s. I'm sure, Scott, you'll have some thoughts on this, but you know, financial discipline and just the way you approach your life in general, those habits are what's going to allow you to transition successfully. It's not like you wake up and you say, oh boy, it's time to cram for the final.
Right.
It doesn't work that way. No, it's a lifelong opportunity. So we're happy to help people guide at that transition point. We're happy to help people that are long range thinking. So we are not a, hey, let's take a look at Amazon. I think they're going to have an awesome quarter next year. You should go buy.
Right.
That's not our approach. Our approach is putting your dollars in the right places so that you can achieve your goals. Our slogan that we kind of operate behind is invest in what you value. And for many people, that's making sure you don't leave a mess for your family, that for your loved ones when you're done, that you do have an opportunity to leave a secure and comfortable retirement. And for business owners, it's, you know, how do you take this asset that you have and grow it as a wealth instrument? So for us, as wealth managers, money is really just one dynamic of the equation. There's so many other pieces to wealth. You don't need to have abundance in your bank account to have abundance in your life. And so those are all things that we try to bring to the table when we're talking with people.
That's awesome. I'm working with several businesses implementing the EOS model with them. And part of that is that they're transitioning. It's their operating asset. And they, adding the management tools and processes from EOS adds to the value of the business. It increases it. So
without question,
those kinds of folks are great to work with. Scott.
Hey, how's it going, John?
I'm good.
I was looking forward to having both of you on the show today because you're both in this financial world a little bit. But tell us a little bit about where you've been and where you're at now.
Yeah. So as you mentioned, my background's professional speaking. So I come into the financial space from a speaking background, not from a finance background. Got my start working with Tom Hopkins International and traveling around the country and doing sales training seminars to tens of thousands of folks. Roll forward all the way till now. In 2012, created a new financial training curriculum to teach people the wealth mindset and how to grow wealthy and to give them the class that's been missing from our upbringing. If you look around America, 30 to 45%, depending on what your stats are, of American households are in liquid asset poverty. They have less than three paychecks saved up for an emergency, and they're literally just making bad financial decisions. They're all making enough money. You know, we live here in America, land of opportunity, best job market in the world. People are making plenty of money, plenty of jobs. It's not the money. It's what they're doing with the money. Right. And so we help give them that mindset. And we work with the younger folks, you know, 20s and 30s and 40s as they're heading into life, giving them those right habits so then they arrive with wealth in the bank and in the mindset and, you know, and all around in their life.
I'm cheering for you to find more of those because sadly, there's many times when we'll do a first meeting with people and be like, yeah, I really, you know, I think I'm ready to check out. And I've got bad news for you. Let me show you the math.
Right.
You're not quite ready. You're going to have to dig in for a little bit longer. And I wish that they had met somebody like Scott a couple decades before to help them get their track. Yeah. Lined in and put you on the right path forward.
And you hear a lot about financial literacy for, I guess, the lower income people, folks and that are on their way up, but struggling at the low end, if you will, of the income stream. I understand Scott, your program is more for those that middle of the road folks that, again, have good jobs, are earning, but not doing what they need to do to.
Yeah, you know, surprisingly, when I mention we do financial literacy, a lot of times folks say, hey, you know, how can people that really are suffering financially afford your program? And they're thinking that it's people in homeless shelters or, you know, the bottom rung of society and they have no money whatsoever. But in reality, it's working professionals that are in salaried positions that are focused on their career that are just sort of typically right now getting into their 40s. Or late middle to middle to late 40s that are sort of waking up and thinking, hey, I need to be doing something here. And they're the ones that are coming to us. Right. Out of 10, probably 6 or 7 would be women that would originally approach the program.
Okay.
And then want us to get their husbands or spouses on track with them.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, yeah.
So I understand you're moving to an online program, online curriculum? Is that
what's going on? Yeah. So over the last 3 years, we've done hundreds of workshops here in Phoenix, Arizona, and we've trained maybe close to 1,000 professionals and put them through our financial training curriculum. And we've realized now as we're starting to expand that we can't physically be in front of everybody.
Yeah.
You know, and
a lot of man hours involved in doing that.
We're working in a medical company, actually Honor Health right now, doing a pilot program, and we have 200 employees, but they want to roll it out to 10,000 if the program goes well. How do we reach 10,000 employees? We can't do that unless the program is online, and we can't reach people all over America unless it's online. So we're taking that curriculum and videotaping it and training it and putting it into a online learning academy.
Yeah, yeah. You'd have to hire hundreds of Angies here to
exactly
to get that done.
Get the cloning equipment in the basement.
And speaking of Angie, she's the ambassador. She's the one you first see when you come into the academy. She welcomes you as a new student and sort of guides you through that online process.
Oh, nice. Yeah, yeah. Very good.
Yes, that's a lot of fun. I'm enjoying recording that.
How did you come to meet Scott and get join in with him?
You know, I met Scott at probably a half a dozen different networking events around the Valley. And then we finally just sat down and connected. And he showed me his program that he's been working on for the past few years. And I was like, my background's in engineering, but I need this class too. So I said, when's the next boot camp? I went, loved it. And I said, you know, I want to get on board and help you. You know, I see your vision, believe in the mission. Let's help America. People need help here.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's a great calling, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. What a leap too, from engineering to leading education. That's cool.
I actually had a Ray Del Muro from Refresh Glass on last show. Been a couple of months, but he's an aerospace engineer that left that to do his passion of saving wine bottles from the landfill. And so actually that day I had rocket scientist and a somebody with two master's degrees.
Wow.
It really had a good conversation. It was okay. I kept up with them okay, I guess.
I hope you didn't try swimming in their water.
No.
I only have one master's degree, not just two.
Okay, that's good. There's three of you here, too, so I got to keep on my toes.
I'm getting on it.
So, Jeremy, as you've gotten into the new arena here, what are some of the things you wish people knew about wealth management?
I guess right off the top, it would be, again, it's more than money. So I have done planning with people who have a budget of $2,500 a month that they're going to live off for the rest of their life. And they are smiling every time I see them. And all of the activities that they want to accomplish are spoken for. And I have conversations with people that have $12,000 a month budgeted for the retirement. And they are no more happy just because they have that much more money. Maybe their house is bigger. Maybe their trips are bigger. But, you know, again, happiness, when it comes to how you approach wealth, prosperity, it's, you have to be thinking about things more than money. Money is absolutely critical. If you're not eating, you've got a hard time. There's not a roof over your head. Of course, those are things you need to pay attention to. But, you know, some of the lines are, you know, what good is it to be the wealthiest person in the retirement home? I mean, it doesn't do anything good, right? So you want to be surrounded by people you enjoy. You need to be emotionally wealthy. You need to be physically wealthy. The more you can keep this container that takes us through life in good shape, the happier your end years are going to be. So I think that a lot of people just kind of get caught up in the mathematics of wealth and money, and it's much more than that, right? And so I hear these conversations. We talk about sort of eavesdropping in on coffee shop and wine bar conversations, and it's like, oh yeah, boy, this guy is hitting me 20% annual rates of return. And, you know, I can show you real quickly how you cannot make a dollar with a 20% annual rate of return. It's illusionary. That's not what you should be paying attention to. I just encourage people to make sure that you have a full strategy, that you're not just looking at one dynamic, that you're taking a look at things regularly. Again, finance is no different than anywhere else in our fast-moving technological world. You know, the insurers and the people on Wall Street and beyond are constantly innovating and making more out of what might just seem like a trivial investment. I've gotten pretty heavy in here recently into social responsibility when it comes to investing, so that you can really align your dollars. If it's going to be sitting there parked, it's actually the best way that you can make an impact on the world is your idle dollars that are just sitting out there. Like, at least align them with the people that are bringing about solutions, that are going about doing business the conscious capitalist way and taking care of people and being cognizant of what your dollars are actually representing.
There's actually some groups out there, investment groups as well as funds, that are focused on conscious businesses.
Right. And, well, you know, the beauty is that the numbers are starting to ferret out as well. You know, we talk about within conscious capitalism that, of course, it feels good to be paying attention to the four pillars, but it's also monetarily to your advantage. These organizations are outperforming their peers. And the same is starting to ferret out for these organizations that we can track how they go about doing what they're doing.
Right.
The ones that are doing it right, the economy is rewarding them for it. Right. And it shows up in the ticker symbols, too.
Cool. Well, I know I met Scott at the Conscious Capitalism event
a month or so ago, and
yeah,
we've met a couple of times since then. So a lot going on in that movement. Actually, the Conscious Capitalism International Conference is here in Phoenix in April, April 23rd, I believe, to 25th.
And, yes.
So
looking forward to that.
Should be good. A lot of preparations going into that right now.
Busy times.
Yeah, for sure. So Scott, tell us a little bit more about the problems you're solving.
Yeah,
what are you coming across out there?
Yeah, and it does. You know, it gets right into that conscious capitalism concept. Before we found conscious capitalism, we called ourselves a be good, feel good, do good, for-profit company.
There you go. I like that.
We didn't realize.
It's just good business. That's what we say, right?
You know, let's do something good with our time. I couldn't imagine going through life only making money,
right.
You know, and not doing something positive, you know, in the wake of our existence, something, you know, leaving the world better than we found it or empowering the community. You know, the problem, as I mentioned, is financial illiteracy. There's people all over America that are suffering. They're in liquid asset poverty. It's the symptom is people fighting. It's spouses arguing. It's, you know, men or women feeling guilty, not being able to pay for their kids to do things, not being able to pay for their spouses to go out and do things. It's arguments. It's lack of productivity at work. It's, you know, people having panic or freaking out and stress. And that's all the symptoms. The problem really is that the class that taught us how to grow wealthy was missing from our upbringing. When I think back in my life, I didn't get it from my folks because they didn't get it from their folks.
Right.
There was no class where they just taught me, hey, here's how wealth works. Here's how our retirement works. Here's how compounding works. And we didn't get it in school. It didn't come in high school. It doesn't come in college. And, you know, the last two presidential administrations have called for employers to bring financial wellness into the workplace because there's such an epidemic of seniors retiring right now. Jeremy, you probably have noticed that. Like with less than $70,000 or $80,000 in their retirement account.
Completely ill-equipped.
Yeah. And they're just, and it all goes back to, we didn't get the class. And, and people are just making huge mistakes. It's not what they're making. It's what they're doing. We came across a 22-year-old girl. This is probably ironic for what you're used to seeing, freaking out about her retirement.
Wow. I look forward to talking to her in 40
years. Yeah, really?
She only had $8,000 saved up, and she was losing sleep because she was never going to be able to save to a million, and she was freaked out because her mom was taking care of her grandma, and she didn't want to be like that. She didn't want to be a burden. She saw her mom stressing out. But when we showed her that taking the money out of her bank and putting it into a retirement account and letting it to compound over the rest of her life, she actually had already saved up, if you will, $320,000 of her retirement dollars.
Yeah, yeah.
Big difference. Now she's still losing sleep, just a different kind. But without the training, what would she have done with that money? Maybe she would have lost hope. She would have used it as a down payment for a car. She might have, you know, used it to move into an apartment or a house and totally eroded the ability, the compounding ability of that money because she didn't have the right mindset. The education is so important, especially at an earlier age. And from a conscious capitalism standpoint, when we empower individuals in a community, we empower the community, teaching people to spend locally, use their money, get the dollar circulating in their community, to be better stewards of the money, to be socially responsible with it.
Right.
And there's so much that we can do by empowering, you know, that individual in the household, empowering that community, empowering that state, empowering our country as we go.
I think when people get that education and feel more comfortable with it, then those arguments and the family issues, those tend to settle down as well, I think, because the money becomes the most important thing at that point when they're living paycheck to paycheck, even though they're making a good paycheck, right?
Yeah, and we've had people come in, you know, $50,000 in debt, but they're freaking out. And then we show them the pathway, you know, and they're like, we're screwed. I'm like, well, you're right. You are, at least right now. And I can't fix that today. But what we can do is get you on the right track. So then at least they leave being screwed, but knowing that they're on the right path to get out of it. They're not just in the dark or freaking out over it. At least there's hope and there's a light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, they're moving upward instead of downward
in
their thoughts and so forth. So, yeah, good stuff. So tell us about how you are developing your curriculum and going online. Where's that come from?
I mean, originally when we started out, we thought, hey, this is going to be a great thing. We need to teach people. I got into it because I made financial mistakes myself and got myself into trouble. Training success all around the country with some of the best businesses and the best individuals and having the best mentors that of the public speakers that I had worked with. And then I got myself in trouble financially. And I'm like, how does this happen? And I realized I didn't have the class. And so I started thinking, what do I need to know? And that's how we started. And I realized I was living off of an income statement mindset. I was living what I was spending. I was, if I'm making $10,000 a month, I'm spending $10,000 a month. If I'm making $20,000, and maybe not every single month, but that was what was going on. So the curriculum started by, let's create and teach people what an income statement is. Let's create and teach people what a balance statement is. Let's help them create a retirement plan and then understand cash flow. That didn't work. It was too big of terms. It was too complicated. People's eyes glazed over. They didn't want to come to that training. So we had to change it. And the curriculum was developed by watching people's eyes glaze over or just start like leaning back in their chair, like, oh my God, this is too much information. And we had to keep breaking it down. And I learned early on in life, being a public speaker, you have to meet people where they are and then slowly walk them to where you want to go and accelerate as you're walking.
Okay.
They'll keep up with you. But you can't just start where you are and tell them to come to you. And so we had to figure out what was that basic level of understanding in America. And really what it is setting up your home accounting system, creating emergency money or the emergency plan for your house, understanding your monthly bills, creating a budget, and we call it a spending plan. People don't like to budget, but they do like to spend money. So we show them how to spend money with a plan.
Nice. Yeah. Perfect. Yeah.
Trimming your financial fat, boosting your credit score, getting out of debt, and then understanding, not teaching them how to do it, but understanding your insurance and your investments. And that's sort of the core body of knowledge.
Okay.
That goes into an educational program.
Yeah. How many classes or how many courses do they have to go through to get what you just described?
Yeah, well, that was different in the old days. In the current days, I guess, not that old. We do a seminar and we do it in a weekend. So they go through the entire curriculum in one class, so to speak.
Wow.
But now that we're putting it online, little lessons are breaking up into little classes.
Modules.
Yeah, little modules and teaching them one thing with one video. And so I don't even know how many it's going to be, but it's going to be hours. It'll probably be 15 to 20 hours of curriculum online.
Yeah. Same concept with when we get our EOS training through EOS Worldwide, they have a video of the full session.
Yeah.
Somebody doing it that we can pattern ourselves after. But they also break it down into 3, 5, 10 minute snippets of a particular tool that they're teaching. And it works really well. You can go back to whatever you need to get back to.
And speaking of EOS, I mean, you came into our office and kind of showed us how that works. And, you know, being an online academy that's gearing up to train folks nationally and really to expand nationally, I couldn't imagine a better system than having EOS inside of our company, helping organize and shape our culture and shape our directives and organize our meetings and create a pulse, you know, a weekly pulse of how we're pushing forward.
Right.
And I think it's going to transform and really magnify the number of people that we're going to be able to help because of people like you that are bringing that into the workplace and into companies like us and helping shape the entrepreneur's mindset in a more effective, productive manner.
Yeah, I love the way you said that. I'm going to have to use that snippet for sure.
But,
I appreciate that. And that's why I do what I do is just helping people like you and other business owners just get what they want from their business and help as many people as they can in a conscious way. So I'm looking forward to starting that journey with you with the EOS in the not too distant future.
Yeah, us too.
Cool.
I wanted to speak real quickly when you said you called it the income statement living. How did you phrase that?
Income statement, balance sheet.
Right.
But for a household.
Correct.
Teach them how to create an income statement and understand.
Yeah, we see that often. So when we're talking to people about 401ks and people are saying, well, I can't sign up now. I got too many bills, so I'll sign up when I get my next raise.
Can't
or
afford 1%.
Right. Well, and that sort of becomes the argument. And we have this income statement mindset, right? So, well, when you get the next raise, maybe you're not going to fast food for lunch anymore. You're starting to hit bistros as your salary goes up. And, you know, the car payment now on your clunker, used car that's 5 years old, now you're getting something nicer and shinier and a few more bells and whistles. There's always going to be that room as you make more for that spending desire and that hunger to come through. So again, it's about getting those disciplines and, you know, 1%. Okay, so you get a 3% annual increase. Pretend it was only a 2% annual increase. What would you have done if your employer actually did that? You would say, okay, I mean, your choices are to leave or you take the 2% and you say thank you. Okay. So that becomes your force mechanism. But you do really need to make that shift because we're sort of trained. I mean, marketers are no dummies. They know exactly how to push impulses that I want something bigger, better, faster,
yeah,
sparklier. And that, until you get those disciplines and they're in your habit wheel, you're always going to have some temptations.
And from the academy perspective, we're not doing the money management, but we've met folks that are they have a match at their company with their 401k. And we're arguing back and forth with them, like heated, saying you need to put at least 1%, just turn on 1% of your income. You can afford that. Just turn it on, at least get the one. And I would say get all five. It's free money, but they are fighting with us. I can't afford it. I don't have any more money. I spend every penny. I have nothing left. Right. And it's
a scarcity mindset.
Yeah.
And we really need to try and reprogram ourselves that we can have abundance. We can prepare for abundance. If you plan in our discipline, it can happen. It doesn't have to be painful discipline either.
Put a spending plan in place, not a budget.
Correct.
Spend less.
You ask a room how many people like to budget. Two or three hands go up enthusiastically. Everyone else just sits there. You ask who likes to spend money. Like probably three quarters of the room go up.
Right.
That's it.
Well, today we're going to teach you how to spend money with a plan. Everyone's like, cool. I'm like, it's not really a budget, but
I went through a class, it's probably been 7 or 8 years ago, kind of a self improvement thing. Rahan's Financial Solutions offered it. It was a 10 ways to wealth and abundance. It was a book by Ron Willingham, I believe. And we went through habits. Each chapter was a habit based on Benjamin Franklin and Poor Richard's Almanac. One of the weeks was they gave us a little pouch, like you carry your cash into the bank to deposit. They said, okay, anytime that you're getting ready to make an impulse buy, if you can say no, put the money you would have spent into this pouch. Holy cow. We had a couple of nice dinners after
a couple of weeks.
Yeah. Just think about all those impulse things. Yeah. Do I need that Starbucks today? Well, no, I won't. It just added up. It was crazy. But just the discipline of thinking about it instead of just automatically doing it from the
correct. In the academy, we create a neuro trigger that every time you pull out your debit card, question pops in your mind, am I growing my wealth or am I wasting my wealth? And Angie's a good example of this. She knew this was probably coming.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
she
boy.
Came to our boot camp.
She had her boot camp.
We call it your bright wealth moment. And she had her bright wealth moment.
I did. Wow. After spending this whole weekend in, taking this class, learning how to make better decisions, just learning more about money, and then creating this connection when I pull out my card, my growing my wealth or am I wasting it? It was my girlfriend's birthday and I went and I ordered two drinks and the bill came back $30 for two drinks. I'm like, oh my goodness, I just spent this entire weekend, learning to grow and I'm going to waste this money. Like, this is ridiculous. That's it. Last drink. So now when I go out, I either go out during happy hour or I'll take a flask with me. I'm very economical. I'm saving so much money drinking less and I'm even healthier too.
There you go.
It's a win-win.
Perfect.
That's cool. Yeah, the $30, those are probably some grande margaritas with Grand Marnier floated on the top or something.
And what we do in the class is we teach people to look forward with that. So if you're in your 30s, $30 would have been 60 if you had invested that by your 40s, or 120 by your 50s, or 240 by your 60s, or almost $500. So she really spent 500 of her retirement dollars on those two drinks.
Wow.
Ridiculous.
And so would you have spent $500? Well, you robbed your future self $500 to have the drink today.
Think about it that way. And obviously that lesson settled into your mindset.
It did,
now.
So big time.
It stays with you, mm-hmm. as does that class I went through. It was every now and then I think, oh, I don't really need that.
And the temptations are everywhere. Before, if you're like, boy, I really want to get a new whatever, you actually had to get in the car and go cruise the racks and actually check the price tag and say, okay, yeah, I'm going to do this, right? Like that would... most impulses could get squashed by that.
Right.
Or now it's let me grab my phone. I think I have 32 choices from that and I will have it delivered tomorrow.
Yeah, right.
It's way too easy.
If I can ask a question, I'm curious, Jeremy, what are you finding the amount, what are you projecting for your clients after they retire, the amount that they can continue to earn on their money while they're spending down? Because I'm curious about that.
That's a good question. So, the old rule of 4% of your earnings will get you through is kind of starting to get a little rattled, I guess I would say. We really like to talk to people about the three worlds of investing is how we call it. So the first is just your cash. Make sure that you have your liquidity and that when you have those impulses, you're not pulling from your actual investment vehicles that are earning that interest. The second is some sort of safe money, which is going to be an insurance play of some sort. So that way you are still getting some sort of growth, but you have a floor on that. So if the markets have a bad year, you're not going to wash away. You know, if we go back to 2008, you know, where literally people said, oh my goodness, I just lost 30%+ of my nest egg and it's gone. So you want to make sure that, again, this is not something that you do 3 months before retirement. This is something that you're actively pursuing, you know, 5-10 years before, that you're starting to reshuffle the deck on where you put your dollars. And then the third bucket would be investments that are going to help you keep up with inflation over the next 30 years. You know, we're actually at a point in the human experience where people are actually looking at, I might be retired as long as I was working. And if you think about that, that's a, you know, how much do you need? Well, what's your DNA look like? What are your healthy lifestyle? I mean, we've got plenty of people that come into our office for their annual visits and, you know, happy 90th birthday. Nice to see you again, right? Like, it's really hard to have that math. So we really like to point people towards income. Like, what kind of lifestyle do you want to have? And what is the income that's going to allow you to match those two things up? And so a lot of the insurance products, like an annuity with an income rider on it, can get you 7 to 10% guaranteed for the rest of your life. So put $100,000 on that, you get 10% on that.
Yeah.
10 grand a year comes out of that vehicle. How many 10 grands a year do you need? You need 5 of those. You need 10 of those. And then that becomes your multiplier. So people are looking for easy math, but often when you sort of put all the pieces and lay them out on the table in front of you, it's not quite a 1+1=2. There's a few things in there. How about yourself? What are you?
We're projecting 4 or 5% when we're telling people, you know, but again, it comes from a training perspective.
Right.
Recommending they talk to an advisor before they, you know, make final decisions.
Sure. And it's not a bad rule of thumb. Right. It's not a bad rule of thumb. It's just the, I immediately get this pit in my stomach when I think of somebody having all of their money in the market.
Yeah.
Because it's just way too volatile. And we're a bad geopolitical event away from something going sideways.
I watched millionaires cry in 08.
It's sad to think about for sure.
Yeah.
Jeremy, you mentioned about working with business owners as well. Are there things that you talk to them about on how they make their businesses better?
Well, for sure. So, you know, I kind of have one toe in the financial insurance world. So often people are coming at us saying, I think we're ready for a 401k, or we want to retool our profit sharing financing with people. And that's great. But I almost flip the switch on that. And I ask them to sell me on why they think the 401k is the right vehicle. In most cases, it's because they're looking to keep up with the Joneses to a certain extent, right? Like, well, I want to get the best employees possible. And so everybody else has it in their benefit suite. So I should too.
Right.
And of course, there's tax benefits and other things that go along with it. But for me, it prompts a conversation on what is your investment in your people? Because really, if you want to grow your business, it's the simple math is grow the team around you and their productivity capabilities and their ingenuity and their vigor when they show up to work. A 401k can certainly be a piece of that equation. But again, much like wealth is more than money, business growth is more than paying attention to the bottom line, right? Again, it kind of goes closely with conscious capitalism, that you grow your wealth by paying attention to the emotional wealth of your people, to the intellectual wealth of your people, the physical wealth of your people. I tell people, hey, go buy everybody a Fitbit and put it on their wrist. You know, it's going to gauge their sleep at night. If they had a rough night of sleep and too many of those strung together, you're not getting the best person at work and you're paying a big chunk. I mean, go through the P&L and most of it is salary to your employees in most businesses. So you want to get the most out of that investment first. And then we can talk about the other mechanisms that you can use as a business owner to maximize what you take home each year and or that you're conveniently putting away for future spend. But it definitely goes down to paying attention to where are you investing. And I always say people first.
Right.
And the other thing is, are you operating off of yesterday's business model or are you showing up with today and tomorrow's business model? And by that, I mean, again, conscious capitalism screams to me that this is proving out. We've got a big shift going on right now demographically, right? So the baby boomers are exiting the workforce. The millennials are now the largest employment base, the largest consumer base. As we watch as people continue through retirement and actually retire from the earth. Biggest wealth transfer in history is we are in the midst of it now. Over $75 trillion projected over the next 25 years to go to this group of people.
Right.
And so, you know, you just have to pay attention to what are their wants, both as employees and as consumers. And we need to be catering to those things. I was watching a show not too long ago on the disruptive nature of Uber and Lyft. And they were interviewing some of the people that were like third generation medallion holders is what they call the taxi drive in New York. You have to have a medallion if you want to be able to drive a taxi. And so, you know, this was like a gift from your grandfather and your father to you. And literally, like overnight, all of a sudden, they're like, man, what's that glowing light in that guy's windshield? Why are they getting in his car and not in my cab? And, you know, those medallions cost $50,000 a year to maintain, but it was an investment and you got something back. And literally, it just changed like that. And so you have to be paying attention to what's coming down the chute and how are you going to remain nimble moving forward and how are you going to get the right people that are going to help you navigate the future? What you did to get where you're at today. You know, Scott, you're going online with your program. It makes perfect sense. I mean, not only to expand your mission and your vision, but you can only see so many people in a given week. You're going to hit a cap. And once you've seen them all, and Phoenix is a big city, but sooner or later, you're going to cap it out. So you have to be forward thinking or you'll be epitaph on, oh, I remember that business. They were pretty cool.
Yeah.
you have to be forward thinking.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned concern for people and conscious capitalism. Maybe a good time, just the four pillars. That's obviously a stakeholder and stakeholder orientation where you're focused on all of your stakeholders. And one of your biggest ones is your people.
Correct.
And trying to treat them right, but also your vendors, customers, the community, the environment, all encompassing. If you have that orientation as opposed to the quarterly earnings report out that's going to drive your stock price in public companies.
Absolutely. And your customers and your employees pay attention to how you treat those other stakeholders.
Sure.
Because they want to represent the brands that are being good to the environment and are community friendly and are not browbeating and trying to get every possible penny they can out of their vendors. Those are relationships. Those aren't transactions. You're going to need those people when you got a big order coming in and you're going to ask them to sort of bend a little bit further. So stakeholder is a big one.
And I look back at my early financial training and schooling that I had. It was all about the shareholders. The business is in business to make for your shareholders.
Still, it's the predominant line.
It's still there, but
the business curriculum right now at the universities down the street. That's what they're talking about.
Yeah, and conscious capitalism is as far away from that as anything, where it's all the stakeholders that have to gain. And again, the financial rewards from that are pretty clear from some of the studies that have been done. So we've got stakeholder engagement, orientation. We've got higher purpose. Again, that higher purpose beyond just making money is, what are you doing? You know, both of you have great higher purposes in your businesses. Conscious leadership is just doing the right thing and being conscious and aware of people and so forth. And the conscious culture is you're creating that within your organization. That's, again, a culture that is welcoming and open and the way it should be. And you put those together and we say it's just good business.
That's right.
That's right.
The way it should have always been.
Exactly.
Well, John, you were at the meeting we had in Tucson, the last conscious capitalism meeting, and somebody raised their hand and said, well, please help me understand the difference between CSR, which is more of your corporate social responsibility, and conscious capitalism. It's really big, stark difference between the two, where CSR is really just sort of a department. And on many organizations, even large ones, it's just a few people that are focused on, well, okay, we're bringing in all this money. How are we going to shuffle it back?
They have
out?
A budget. You can spend $1 million or $100,000.
Don't get me wrong. I'd rather have CSR than not have CSR. That's great that they're out there doing something. But you talk about a conscious culture. I mean, that's not just a few offices in the corner. That's everybody comes to work thinking about how do we go after our purpose and how do we go about doing this in the best way possible.
Right.
Big shift.
Yeah. And when I work with clients and we discover their core values, I mean, that becomes who they are as a group, how what the culture is. So EOS, when I did the talk in Tucson, it was all about this is a conscious business model, business management model, and having those core values and the right core values that you live and embody, and you're hiring people to live those with you makes for that conscious culture. So.
Yeah, that's the cornerstone for sure. Yep.
And I think Scott, conscious. Yes, sir.
I was just going to ask you what's up, where's your head at right now?
Yeah, it's exciting to see the conscious movement, the conscious capitalism movement growing, you know, so much in Arizona. I've only been a part of it here since like last year, December, maybe November, but I've been watching the groups get bigger and bigger and more people showing up, and the annual conference is here now. Groups all over the world are figuring this out, and it's coming together. It feels like there's a movement taking place, and I wish I had thought of it. But I'm glad to be part of it.
That's right.
And we all have our own piece. And
that's exactly right.
Well, it's essential, in my opinion. You know, you talk about there is no course in high school or college that gives you these skills that you're teaching. Yeah. We just talked about, you know, it's still the shareholder mentality being taught at the institution. So where is this message going to come from if we don't, as business owners, huddle together and start sharing this information, inviting people to be part of this, and really explaining how it can be so impactful? You know, there's certainly some argument to be made. I'm not a doomsday person at all. I mean, on the one hand, we're certainly living in probably, I wouldn't substitute where we're at now for any other time in history. We've got access to conveniences and a quality of life that I certainly take advantage of, and I'm happy to do so. But there's also this razor's edge. There's the backside of that too. There are a lot of very viable people telling us that if we stay this course, our ability to inhabit this earth we love so much is going to be greatly challenged. And, you know, some of the things like we're safer, I believe vehicle accidents for decades was the number one accidental issue, or now it's emotional distress, and people are, you know, either eating ourselves to death with the things we're putting in our face, or literally doing suicide, I think, is number two in the accident levels. Like, those are horrible things. And, and we need to realize that there's got to be a better way. And so conscious capitalism kind of not only plugs that dam, but it's also the framework by which if we just all take care of each other in that mindset, we go to work, which is where you spend most of your day, right? I mean, if you're not in bed, then your work is going to be the place where you spend most of your time, and you're huddling up with a bunch of diverse people, right? It's not, you don't have to have a certain religious background or color of skin to come to work. It's you are who you are, and you all huddle together, and you go after your company's mission and vision. And if we do that responsibly and with a stakeholder mindset, we can really do some severe repair and prevent, you know, the ship from hitting the iceberg, if you will, which I think we all very incented to do so.
For sure. For sure. Scott, how do folks get enrolled in your academy and be able to see Angie and as the ambassador?
Yeah, that's a great question for Angie. Angie, how does a student end up at Bright Wealth Academy?
Well, like Scott had said, we've been doing them in like the workshop setting or like in seminar style. So we've mostly been doing it that way, but we're gearing up to do it online.
Okay.
So registering online, checking out our website, brightwealthacademy.com, and seeing when the next event is. We've been holding workshops monthly, sometimes private for individual companies, but usually we'll have a public one. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Our next public one is on March 29th. Is that the right date, Dina?
Yeah, the 29th and 30th.
29th and 30th. Yes. It's a two-day event. We're going to have guest speakers there. It's dealing with wealth, money, and investments, and growing wealthy. Wow. And it's going to be a two-day event. And you can find information on that at brightwealthacademy.com. And then just click on events.
Cool.
It's called Financial Mastery 2019.
2019.
And we're teaching you how to master your finances. Make this the year that you grow wealthy.
Nice.
I like it.
Some people probably will attend that.
I also like to add, the first time I pulled up your website, immediately my thought was, boy, this sure sounds like a good benefit that an employer could bring in to the workplace. Again, you know, the summer picnics are cool, and those are all great benefits, but you know, this is something that's impactful for somebody's entire life. I assume that's
an investment in the
correct. Right. I assume that's a forum.
Yeah, on the employer side, I mean, it's a benefit that a lot of the HR community is starting to tune into, so much so that we've been invited to speak to HR managers, and our curriculum has been approved for them to get continuing credit because the associations find it valuable for the HR managers to bring financial wellness into the company. It reduces turnover. It increases productivity. It helps employees with the FSA and HSA, and the company save money because more employees are using those benefits.
Right.
There's all sorts of benefits for the company that come into play, and they're recognizing it. In addition to just wanting to empower their employees and you know, the conscious, heartfelt, you know, purpose behind it, but there's a monetary benefit for the company as well. And in fact, we have a calculator where we calculate the ROI on the company based on how many number of employees they have over the given year, broken out by where we think they can save that money by implementing financial literacy into their company.
Wow, that's very powerful. Makes perfect sense.
Yeah, that's for sure. So right now you've got the registration for your live presentations, your workshops online. How about the online academy, the classes? When do you expect to launch
that? The online academy is coming online this quarter.
Okay.
Cool. And we'll have the first is called Impact Series, and it's the three classes that we all missed growing up. Okay. It's Timeline of Your Life, which shows you where you are on the timeline, gives you a bird's eye opening view of where you're at and the decisions you've been making and the course you're on. And then Roadmap is kind of self-calculating how much money you need to be saving in order to hit what we call your magic number.
Okay.
That's lesson number two. And lesson number three is Mindset of the Wealth Accumulator. And how does the people that accumulate wealth think differently than those that are wasting their wealth, that aren't growing wealthy? Those that are struggling tend to think that the rich spend money and go on lavish trips and do all these great things, when in reality, they're skimping and saving and clipping coupons and putting money away. And so you got to get the mindset. So those three classes will be online at the end of the month, actually.
Oh, nice.
By March of 2019, I don't know when you're listening to this podcast,
right?
But if you're tuning in by March of 2019, you can plug in and take those three classes for free. And that's our gift to the country. In fact, we're going to make the three classes that I wish I had gotten when I was young. It doesn't give you everything you need to know, but it certainly wakes you up and it's like a light bulb going off. We call it a fast-paced mind awakening, thought-provoking financial thump in the head.
Wow. But we need to find ways to make
sure. It's a little ambiguous. I'm not quite sure what you're driving at there.
Yeah. We need to find ways to make sure that message gets out. So what kind of help could anybody give you to get
they
more?
Can print signs and stand on the corner and say, go to Bright Wealth Academy and make an impact.
There we go.
And the idea is that we are going to make an impact in the communities.
So
you just go brightwealthacademy.com and then find the impact class. Take it. It's free. Anyone, you know, there's all sorts of ways you can email people. You can invite us in to do free workshop for your company. We'll do a 45-minute workshop at no charge for employees. If you're an employer and you're listening to this, or if you run a chamber or a networking group or some sort of an association, we're happy to do that. And we'll never leave anybody behind. If this is a homeless shelter that's listening to this and you want us to come in and teach and you don't have the budget for it, that doesn't matter. We have the Bright Wealth Foundation, and we will. Money's not the issue that's going to stand between you and the training. Never.
Nice.
So we'll be there, even if it's one person in the back of an alley. My team says I'm not allowed to go there, but I will. We'll help.
Right. That's a great. And again, that's very conscious minded as well.
For sure.
That sounds really good.
Well, and again, as somebody who's helping people in the later years of life, I'm very grateful that you're out there doing what you're doing, because that's going to enable that many more people to.
They'll arrive on destination with something to play with.
That's correct.
Right.
Arrive to the end point.
I'm already thinking of a couple clients and connections in the HR world and providing outsourced HR and payroll and things like that to find a way to get this announced to them and let them take it out to their clients as well. So
yeah, there's a big benefit.
I'll try and do all I can to get that message out. That's pretty cool.
Great.
So is there any question that I haven't asked or we haven't talked about that, Jeremy, that you'd like to get some final words in?
I don't think so. I'll just add, if anybody wants to find us, we're online at RETEVO. We're Retirement Evolutions, and so that's the first three letters of each word .com. We're happy to sit with anybody. We do free initial consultations just to help set the stage. A lot of what we do is refer people. If it's not something that we can help with, we certainly understand the need. And again, our goal is to help people with their wealth. And a lot of times that's not a money issue. That might be going to see somebody else that can help them with their relationship or some other dynamic of life. And so, you know, part of what we do is feels like a concierge type service.
Right.
Where certainly that's not in our wheelhouse, but we have the relationships and can steer you in the right direction on those things. So we're always happy to sit down with people. And again, be mindful when you are tucking away money that it doesn't necessarily have to be a 401k. You know, pensions are pretty much a thing of the past.
Right.
But there are ways you can create your own pensions with some of the modern insurance products. And so if you can put away a few $100 to a 401k, you can also look at it on an insurance basis. So you don't have to be 60 years old to start thinking about how am I going to prepare for income in retirement. That can happen in your 30s and your 40s. We have clients that young now that are – it's all about long-term commitment on the money so that it can be there for you and do its work over the years, get its growth, and then whatever task that particular instrument, you know, we call it sort of the CarMax lot. Don't care whether it's a Chevy, a Honda, a Ford, doesn't matter what the vehicle is. It's what do you need, and let's line you up with that.
Right.
And then same as with our business services. What we can't do within the financial and insurance world, we can certainly play concierge and help you take care of your people so that you have the wealth that you can take advantage of those financial insurance instruments.
That's basically how I've developed my business, John Deiter Solutions. EOS is my primary, what I deliver, but the connections I have and radio guests included and all the people that I've been introduced to and know and feel as friends. If I can't help someone directly, I've got a lot of people that I could refer them to. So I'm always looking for ways to help. Again, business solutions there. So
perfect.
How about you, Scott? Anything we didn't hit today in our conversation?
You know, I would just say if someone's listening to this podcast, or if you're listening to this podcast, I'm sure someone's listening. Right. If you're listening to this podcast and you're thinking about your money, you know, are you doing so well financially that we could include you as a success story at the Academy? Is there room to grow? Do you have stress? Are there questions you're having with your spouses about money? Is there something going on? And if there is, I'd encourage you to go to the Academy and take that impact class and get started. It transforms your life, and small decisions made now can impact your future. It's never too late to get started, and it's always the right time to get started. And that's what I would say is don't wait another minute. Get on track financially with your future. It's up to you, and it's not going to happen by itself.
Right, right. That's great. I think I'm going to go in and take that class myself. And then how best people get in touch with you?
Yeah, you know, the best way is for us on the Bright Wealth Academy is to go to our website, brightwealthacademy.com. You can also check us out on Facebook at Facebook.com/Bright Wealth Academy. And so either of those are really good. We kind of show all the things that we're doing on Facebook and kind of behind the scenes.
Okay.
And on our website is the best way for us.
Great, great. Well, good. And Jeremy gave us your contact information.
The website's the best place to go, and you can find all the social links from there.
Okay. Well, I think we're just about wrapped up for today. Anything else, Angie, that you want to add? Thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. This is fun.
Enjoyed that.
You guys are great.
For sure. So that does wrap up our show for today. You can listen to this and other Business Solutions Radio podcasts at www.phoenixbusinessradiox.com. And search my name, John Deiter, and you'll be able to see all the shows, including this one, and listen to them. All I do is ask that you remember our theme, It's Just Good Business, and we're broadcasting from the Max 6 studio of Phoenix Business Radio X. Make it a great day.